Hello and welcome to another episode of the Pacers Pod. It's playoff time. We're in it. Two games into the first playoff run with this new-looking Indiana Pacers era. Halliburton, Siakam, and the gang. Looking at, you know, we're 1-1. There's been highs and lows. But I just wanted to, check in here and think about what we've gone through so far. And, you know, since the last time I did a pod, which I looked was April 8th, and there were three games left in the regular season. And the Pacers were in the, you know, in the hunt for the, like, it's all about the playoff seeding, and they could have gone as low as 8, they could have been 7, 6, 5. A lot of things were up in the air. They finished 2-1, beat Toronto, lost to Cleveland, and then they beat the Hawks to clinch the 6th seed in the Eastern Conference. And we drew the Bucks, and it feels pretty good. I'm glad I'm recording this after game 2 and not after game 1, because I feel much more confident moving forward. But the Pacers, you know, they took care of business in the regular season. They avoided the play-in. So I'm just kudos to them. I think you just take a quick peek back at the regular season and, you know, obviously, get trading for Pascal Siakam, the Tyrese Halliburton ascension at the beginning of the season and through the in-season tournament. You know, just like the increase, like Turner had a great year, like Neesmith was good. You know, we've had a lot of good stuff. We were in a lot of good games. We beat a lot of good teams this year. We had some frustrating moments as well, where it felt like we're just, you know, we just let a lot of easy ones go. Like, just frustrating losses were a lot higher this year than what it seems like a team as good as we are, you know, like we're winning games. We won a game in the playoffs already. So it's like we're a team that should be beating, you know, on the regular, the Portlands and the Wizards and the Bulls, like teams that are just not, I mean, Bulls not so as much, but, you know, the bottom feeder teams that the Pacers lost at least like 5 to 10 games this year were of just games and teams that were just really disappointing. And it just made me think, like, okay, maybe this team is actually, that's where we get our another 10 win increase next season. Is so we went from 25 to 35 to this year we hit 40, over 45, we hit 47. Next year, 55-win team, you know, if you win 8 of the 10 games, if you win like 6 or 8 of the bonehead losses, you turn those into wins. And, you know, plus the team's going to be better. The future is bright. The future is bright. And here we are, though. This is the first taste. And, man, that game 1 was a tough one to watch. It was not just game 1, it was the first half of game 1, and it started getting really dark. The team just folded. The team looked timid and scared and it felt like everybody was kind of like hiding away from the moment a little bit. Like nobody wanted to like go take it, except for Pascal Siakam. He was the only bright spot of that first half of the first game. I don't know. I guess that's. I'll jump right into it. I think. Okay. thoughts on the playoffs. Game three. Are we getting Jekyll or Hyde from this team? Because it, you know, I just saw something before I got on here where it looked like Chris Middleton might be out for game three. And it seems like Giannis might be out for game three. We're going to be at home. You know, the crowd's going to be into it. Like, this feels like a game we have to win. But what if we don't make our, like, what if we're not making threes? And what if Dame's going nuts? What if Damian Lillard's going nuts again? He's just like, he's just single-handedly beating the team, especially without Middleton and Giannis. And obviously we'd have to make some defensive arrangements for that. But like, I don't think there's a great chance of that happening, but this team has shown us that sometimes if things start off bad, it feels like it just never quite gets going to where you need it to be. And I don't know. That's what we saw the first half of game one. And hopefully that's not what we get in game three. But yeah, I mean, I just think like that first game, they were missing shots, and there's no confidence, no swagger, but they did respond in the second half. They played better. They ended up outscoring the Bucks 52-40, but it was just a really disappointing first game. There's just no energy, no fun. And I think overall, to me, for game one, my biggest takeaway is like, it was obviously just a throwaway game. You just have to, you're like, all right, there's no way we can be that bad again. But for me, it was just, I had juiced myself up so much for the idea of Halliburton's playoff debut. You know, he's a player who has always talked about being in the playoffs and how bad he wants to get into the playoffs. And you look at the Bucks, and I listen to a lot of the Pacers podcasts out there. So it's like, I don't necessarily pick up on these types of things when I'm watching the game, but like, I've heard that they're like blitzing him. So basically forcing the ball out of Halliburton's hands. So maybe it's just really hard, or maybe it doesn't make sense for him to be like shooting the ball more. But to me, when I was watching game one and guys weren't making shots and we just like were falling apart, and just to see Halliburton not even put it up, not start to force the issue, especially against this team. Like, I guess if it's a trap and stuff or a blitz, you know, whatever, like that, that's maybe one thing. But like, how many times did he just have like either, you know, Beverly on him or somebody where he can just like attack the hoop? And we just didn't get any of that. And guys weren't making shots. It was just a disaster. It was a disaster. But they did that. So like, yeah, I'll just put it at that for game one. Like that was basically for me, the biggest kick in the stomach was just the aggression level of Halliburton, who I thought would come out on the other end. I thought he would be more aggressive, and it's not just the shot taking, even though like seven shot attempts for a game is ridiculously low. Like that's just, it doesn't matter how, like that's just a really low number. But yeah, so I just thought he was going to be aggressive. I thought he'd be able to kind of impose his will on the Bucks defense a little bit more than that. So that was the hardest thing. But then, you know, to the other side of this, what we showed in game two, it's like, all right, I'm back. Thank you. This is what we want. This looks great. We were actually hitting shots. I mean, it's such a big deal for our team, I think, to just be hitting shots. I don't know what it is. It just feels like when we're not hitting our shots, nothing else is going well. But if we are hitting our shots, you know, now our defense is, we're moving quicker. We can't wait to grab the ball and go to get another shot because we just made two in a row, you know, or like, but then if it's not going like in game one, oh, everything kind of crumbled. But game two was so good. The team responded. They shot 55% from the field, 44% from three as a team. I think we hit 16 threes. Miles Turner was phenomenal. Andrew Nembhard was great. Aaron Nesmith he was really good. Shepherd looked good. All these guys, they looked like the guys that we've seen, you know, most of the season this year. These secondary players, they're super important, and nobody on that list did anything in game one, and they did it. They did things, and they impacted the game in game two. It was more of a team effort. It wasn't just on Siakam to try to do everything. And the team played with the swagger. They played with fight. I felt like they brought the aggressiveness to Milwaukee a lot more in game two. And the energy level was just up. It was lots of fun. It just felt like, you know, this is what the Pacers do when they're at their best. This is how they beat teams like Boston. This is how they beat teams like Milwaukee. This is how they beat, you know, I mean, just like they beat a lot of the great, I mean, like, yeah, a lot of the playoff teams, the Pacers, you know, at least got a game against. They got the Lakers. I'm not going to go through, like, they got, I know they got the Clippers. I think they got Dallas. But point being, the Pacers can beat good teams when they play this way. When guys like Aaron Nesmith and Andrew Nembhard and Miles Turner, especially Miles Turner, Miles Turner is so key, I feel like, to the ceiling of this team. If he's going to knock down his shot, if he's going to be efficient with his shooting, man, he is such a great third guy for right now. And when he doesn't have it, like in game one, it's hard to overcome. It's just the miss after miss after miss of that game was just so hard to see. But they turned it around. They turned it around. They shot much better in game two. And we'll see what we get in game three, right? It's like, especially if Milwaukee doesn't have, really, it's like if Giannis doesn't play, even if Giannis does play, it's like we got to be able to beat this team with Giannis. Man, you know what's going to be sweet is I'm actually going to be at the game. And I've never been to a playoff game before. So this is going to be super exciting to feel what it's like to be in the arena. I think it's going to be really loud. It's going to be like, we're going to be into it, man. I know I'm going to be into it. I'm going to be, you know, on every play. It's playoffs. It's like, it's going to be fun. What team shows up? Other thoughts that I've had, you know, watching the team lately. I just feel like, you know, to me, the Pacers have felt like Pascal Siakam's team through the first two games of the playoffs. And, you know, you can look at the numbers and it's like, obviously, Siakam's put up great numbers, but just, I don't know if I necessarily felt this much. Like, if I think back to the regular season and just kind of like, it kind of felt like it was Siakam and Halliburton, you know, as equal voices or equal leaders. I also feel like, I don't know if Halliburton's quite saying quite as much. And I think it's like, to me, in the first two games, I'm just going off a feeling on this. To me, it's just felt like Siakam's maybe taken a bigger step forward, and this is his team. And that's something I'd actually never thought about until I was watching one of the games either last night, I think it was last night or the night before, and they flashed the ESPN Friday schedule. So the game three for the Pacers Bucks game, and right next to Damian Lillard was Pascal Siakam's face, not Tyrese Halliburton's face. I thought, oh, interesting. But it makes sense based off of the first two games of the playoffs. Siakam's a two-time All-NBA player. I mean, maybe then like to the, and maybe I'm speaking out of turn, but like maybe like to the national media, it makes more sense that like Pascal's the number one. And not that any of this really matters, but it just, to me, it planted the seed of, and I'm just kind of exploring what that actually kind of means for the Pacers. If Siakam, like, are we ready to buy into Siakam as the dude? Like, cause we've already deemed the franchise to Tyrese. And I don't know. Pascal's playing like the franchise right now through the first two games. He's playing like a max contract guy. Like, I do have, so he's putting up 36 points, 12 rebounds, 4 assists, roughly 65% from the field through the first two games. I mean, that's insane. 36 points and 12 rebounds. And he's, you know, like I mentioned, he was the only guy that showed up for game one. He led our team to victory in game two. He's playing like a max dude. He's playing like he's playing at an all-NBA level right now. He's shown that he can take his game to another level in the playoffs. He's not like in, you know, regular season guy, 22-7-5, you know, bump it up to 36-12. It's probably, you know, a lot of this probably has to do with the matchup and everything. But he's been phenomenal the first two games. Can he keep that up? Does he stay at this high of a player throughout the rest of this series against the Bucks? And if he does, I would imagine the Pacers are moving on to the next round, play either the Knicks or the 76ers. And does he keep it up? Like, is this the type of player that Pascal's going to be in the playoffs this year? Because if so, then it's like, there's no question he's getting a max contract. And I looked it up. That basically means he'd be making anywhere from like 42 to 49 million a year based off of if he goes with like a 4-year deal or a 5-year deal. He's currently making 34 million a year. And so he's, you know, he's due for a pay increase, inflation, you know. But he's playing like right now, these last two games, he's an all-star, all-NBA type player, which bodes well for us moving into next season. As you know, if you look at Pascal, you're like, he's only 29. Maybe I haven't checked that lately. Maybe he did turn 30. But you know, you look at guys like Paul George, he's 33, 34 years old. These guys, Dame Lillard, 35, I think. There's a lot of guys are playing later in and they're doing well. And you know, Pascal shows no sign of being too old to ride with him. And if anything, we're getting him at his peak. Like, he's in his prime right now. And he can, it's like, I think maybe, okay, it's like he can carry this team, this franchise, as the number one player. It's just like, where does that lead? It's just weird because, like, okay, that's supposed to be what Tyrese is doing. I don't know. I'm probably way off into the weeds a little too much. It's two games into the playoffs, first of all. Like, I'm just projecting out. Like, if Pascal's play the first two games are what he does, you know, the rest of these playoffs, it is interesting. Like, what does that mean? Or do we go back to, and you don't have to have like this one person that's obviously the best player on the team. But I just think it's like, okay, the franchise just spoke openly about how Tyrese is the franchise. Pascal seems like an addition to the franchise, but he's been playing like he should be the franchise. And Tyrese should be a part of it too. So it's like they're doing it together. It doesn't have to, I don't know why I'm going down this road. It doesn't have to be like bad blood. I just wonder though if it matters to be like, because if you're called the franchise, it's like you're usually, you know, the best player. And if you're not the best player, it is kind of weird to like be called the franchise. But I'd certainly think that Tyrese can still be the best player. And that's one of the things that I'm looking forward to the most for game 3 and 4, the 2 games at home. Hopefully they can just be this fertile ground for Tyrese to come and just like, do something silly from the 3-point line. Like let's hit like 7 threes, like pop off like a 35-point night. Get to the paint. Like, I don't know, just like the game 2, the whole team did well. It was great, but like Tyrese didn't eat. Like, I want to see a game where the team is doing well and Tyrese is eating. And I want to see, yeah, I just, that's what I hope to see from Tyrese. But Pascal, he just has been doing it all. I mentioned his numbers. The only thing that concerns me is from the free throw line, he's 7 of 13. And actually, as a team, we're 23 of 35, meaning we're 65% from the free throw line as a team. On the other, the competitors are shooting 94% from the free throw line. And we have very similar attempts. So it's like Pascal's free throws are a bit, you just wish they were stronger. It just feels like those are just so much, you just feel so much better if he was shooting 80% than if he's shooting 60. And I don't know. I mean, I would assume, let's see, he's put up 13 free throws in 2 games. I don't think there's probably any other Pacer that's put up that many free throws. So he is getting to the line the most for us. And, you know, he's shooting, I guess that's what, 7, I guess just slightly above 50%. But from the field, he's been outstanding. And he's putting up 24 shots a game. He averaged 16 shots a game in his 41 games with the Pacers this season. So he's increased the shots eight times. I was curious, you know, obviously with Halliburton's shot attempts, it's kind of something that is maybe more front of mind. But I was wondering, you know, what is the shot breakdown for the team? And you got Siakam is averaging 24, Turner's averaging 16, and then it drops all the way down to 9.5, which is TJ McConnell and Aaron Nesmith. And then it goes to 8.5, Halliburton, Nimhard, and Toppin. So you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 guys at 8.5 field goal attempts per game or more. But just the discrepancy between Siakam and the field here, you know, Turner's getting his shots up. But other than that, it's basically just been the Pascal Siakam show. And then other guys are shooting when they're open. And it's just, I wonder if that continues or if we see other guys. I wonder if the shots, you know, distribute to other guys instead. But hey, if he's going to shoot 65% from the field, the more the merrier, in my opinion, for Siakam. I kind of touched on this earlier, but just like, you know, one of the things that I was thinking about is just what do these first 2 games mean for Tyrese? Like, obviously the big thing was, if this kind of shakes up the pecking order on the team or the leadership roles. But the thing that I will say, and winning games or series will cure all. If we are winning games, Tyrese, it cannot be, like, the proof's in the pudding. We're winning games. If we beat Milwaukee in a series, and Halliburton, you know, only averages 12 shot attempts a game or something for the series, so be it. That's what it took to win that series. It's all about, I mean, Halliburton will regain respect and the whole team, you know, if we beat the Bucks and advance to the next round. It's like, okay, this team is not just, you know, they're not just an offensive team that, you know, sucks on defense. They just beat the Bucks, injuries or whatever, but they did it, and you couldn't take it away from them. And then it's like, we get a chance to compete in round two, which just ratchets it up another level. And, I don't know. So with Tyrese, it's like, if we can win, you can't put any, I don't criticize him at all. It's those times when it's just that first game, we needed somebody and it should have been him, in my opinion. I want to see your best player, you know, your star needs to step up and try to make a bucket. Even if it's a tough shot, whatever. It's like we need some help. We're all out here, you know, trying to figure it out and it's not working. And I don't know. We'll see. I just want to see from Tyrese the intensity level and the passion and just the, I don't know, just the tenacity. Just crank up. Just be as scrappy as you can be. Be more, I don't know, like just be more aggressive to the hoop. Chirping with other guys. Be swaggy out there. Be, I don't know, in a way, like, be demonstrative. Just, like, it's like, just make it be known. Make it be known. Make your name be known on the game and back it up. But this is his first play. Like, this is his first playoff series. These are his first two games. And the second game, you know, we won. So it's just that really tough first game. I'm not rushing to any conclusions that Tyrese isn't going to be able to perform in the playoffs or that this is Pascal Siakam's team. I'm not going there. I'm just raising the thought. I can't wait to see how Tyrese plays in game three. Thoughts moving forward. In my opinion, the Pacers should win this series. My expectations are that they win this series, especially because they've been without Giannis thus far. And if they don't have Giannis or Middleton in game three, you know, we got to take that one. And I think when Giannis does come back, there's going to have to be a little bit of time for them to figure it out. And if we can just get them early, if we can get enough wins with Giannis out and then just get one real quick when he comes back and win the series and move on, that would be such an incredible achievement for this team to accomplish. And it just feels like, I don't know. It's like, to me, it feels like if we win a first round series going into next year's playoffs, we're going to be assuming we're going to win a first round series. We're going, you know what I mean? Like, it's, I don't know. I just feel like, I mean, I know it's all about matchups and stuff, and you can't predict what's going to happen in the regular season and stuff, but like, for a team to get to the playoffs for the first time, have so many players be going through the playoffs in the first time. Obviously, we added an NBA champion. We added an all-NBA, all-star in Pascal Siakam to this roster mid-season. And he's playing like that. And he's winning us games. And we should win this series. We should win this series against the Bucks. Will the role players be with us for the two home games? Hopefully there's an environment of just shot making for the Pacers. Just a barrage of three-pointers. They made 16 in game two. I would love to see 20 plus three-pointers made in both games, and we just blow the doors off the Bucks, and we go up 3-1, and then we see. But will the role players elevate their games and play well at home? I'm thinking Aaron Nesmith, Andrew Nimhard, McConnell, Toppin, Shepherd, those guys, Tyrese even, you know, the whole team. How do we respond? Are we Jekyll or Hyde? Can we get consistency from Miles Turner for the rest of this series? Can we not get games as bad as game one? We don't have to necessarily get games as great as game two, but I think that for me, I just feel like with Miles, it's like if he can just be efficient with his shot, it just makes his game feel so much more valuable. Because when the shot's not hitting, I don't know, it just feels like it affects everything. And especially when he's getting up there, and like that game one, I think he was 7 of 17 or something. There's just a lot of misses. And but game two, it's like, oh man, when he is on, the Pacers are absolutely dynamite. When Turner's shot is on, and it's been on most of the season, it's been on to spotlight on. Like, he's been phenomenal with his shot this year. But I just hope that he can always be a positive in every single game and find a way to be a positive even when the shot isn't falling as well as you would hope. But another thing I'm thinking about or excited to see in game three is how Andrew Nembhard, can he build off of his game two that he had and the series really? The whole story's been about Dame Lillard and how he's been so, so good against the Pacers. And that's true. But like, Andrew Nembhard is putting up a hell of a fight. He's making you proud as a fan to watch. Like, he's giving you what you want to see from him. He's playing his role to a T. And in game two, when the shots fall into, he was 8 of 11 from the field for 20 points. Plus what he's doing on defense, he instantly becomes super valuable. And can we get a little bit more consistency from that too? You know, he doesn't necessarily need 20 points, but just can you give us 12 to 14 with, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, I've just been really impressed with Nembhard. And especially, it's the thing that's impressed me the most about him is the fierceness that he plays with. He's not scared of anybody or any situation or any moment. And I don't know what it is. It's just like seeing him talk with Dame, seeing him, you know, body him up, stand up for himself. I mean, like, he's just not going to back down to anybody. And he's been phenomenal. And I'm really loving this first glimpse of Andrew Nembhard in his playoff career. Basically, how's Haliburton performing? Do we get to see more scoring? I mean, the thing about it is, like, he made the Olympics team for this upcoming Olympics, which is a ridiculous roster. Ridiculous. It's got to be one of the best rosters ever assembled. And he made the team. He's on the team. Sky's the limit for this dude. And I just think, just give us a little bit more scoring, please. Just give it to us. Shoot more, at least. Please. I don't know. We'll see. How do we perform in a close game? First time, game one, game two, both games were, you know, over with 6 minutes left in the fourth quarter. How do we do against the Bucks in a tight one? And how do we execute? Who steps up when it ratchets it up even more? The last thing is, I have been thinking about Benedict Mathurin and, you know, what he would be like in this series. And I will say, I do miss him. I have said that we are fine without him. And I think, you know, you could probably make a case that that's true, X's and O's wise, but just emotionally, and like for the storyline, the narrative of this team, it's like, I miss Mathurin. I miss that he's missing out on this. And hopefully it's making him hungry and determined to, you know, really put it together. And maybe we could get a, here I am talking myself into a Mathurin all-star season, but like, why not? No, I'm not saying all-star, but let's get him back in the starting lineup. Come on. Come on, Mathurin. You can do this. Okay, so we got the Bucks on Friday at home. I will be there. I will be screaming for everyone, for all Pacer pods out there. I will be screaming and cheering this team on. Sunday, another home game, and then Tuesday, away game. So here we go. Here we go. 1-1. Round one. Year one. Tyrese era. Siakam one. That is going to be the show. Thank you for checking out the Pacers pod. Hope everybody is doing fantastic. And we'll talk later. Peace and love. Bye-bye.